What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You guys, I am so excited. My new course on behavior, the Practical Behavior Approach, is officially done and ready to go. Enrollment is only open until April 30th. And if you are someone who is supporting a child with frequent challenging behaviors, listen in because this course is for you. This course was designed for any teacher, special ed or gen ed, clinician or parent, working with a child with frequent negative behaviors. This course is going to prepare you with a comprehensive toolbox. You're going to have all the tools you need to prevent problem behaviors, respond when problem behaviors happen, and to build those missing skills. We go in depth into why behavior happens, looking at contributing factors like diagnosis, trauma, anxiety, and sensory needs. This is truly a cohesive course where strategies are rooted in the science of applied behavior analysis, but also rooted in trauma-informed practices. So you're going to have both perspectives to develop this really robust framework of strategies that is truly going to be effective. So if you are feeling burnt out, overwhelmed, or out of answers on how to support your kids, click on the link in the show notes and learn a little bit more about this course and how the training and all of the downloads and tools are going to really help support you on this journey to helping your child be successful. I can't fully express how excited I am to get this course in your hands. Click on the link in show notes. Let me know if you have any questions. And when you get started, let me know how it goes.
Hi, I'm Sasha Long, special ed teacher and board certified behavior analyst. Welcome to the Autism Helper Podcast. I'm here to explore different strategies to improve the lives of individuals with autism.
Welcome back to the Autism Helper Podcast. I want to spend some time on the podcast this week talking about life skills. Now, if you are an early childhood teacher and you're like, oh, this doesn't apply to me, let me skip to the next episode, hold on a second. Because life skills to me are more than vocational skills. And life skills to me are more than what we teach in high school and transition. There are things that we want to really start early because these are the important behaviors that we need to be independent, to be successful later in life. I often get asked, especially by junior high and high school teachers, when should I switch from academics to life skills? And my answer is never. You should never switch from academics to life skills. And I understand the root of what they're asking. When do we go from like focusing on phonics to focusing on sorting laundry and having kind of that more of that transition on switching gears? But My challenge in those scenarios is to really think about how often we use academic skills on a daily basis. We use academic skills all day. When we are setting our laundry, we read the settings. When we are making a recipe, we use measuring cups to measure and count. When we are finding directions to a new location, we use listening comprehension to listen to the steps. We use reading comprehension to read the steps. We use academics all day, every day. So instead of thinking about, okay, I'm going to stop working on academics and start working on life skills, I really want the focus to be more, I'm going to start working on academics with a life skills twist. And we can start this early. We can start this in early childhood. We want to think about what those next goals are in that next season of life. Hey, when you're in junior high, the expectation will be that you do chores around the house. house that you're able to make yourself a simple snack? And what are the academic skills involved in those things? And how can we start teaching that in elementary, right? So we always want to embed academics in everything we do. And this is important for me to, I've been thinking and talking about life skills so much lately because we've been working on our life skills curriculum for probably like the last 6 months. And we're so excited that it's finally finished. And we wanted our life skills curriculum to go really nicely with our functional literacy and functional math curriculum that we already have. And I'm excited about how these three will work together. The functional literacy and the functional math do exactly what I'm just talking about, working on academics with that functional twist. And life skills is like the last piece of this trifecta that's going to work on community and household-based skills that our learners really need. And I'm excited to have all three done and completed because they're going to work so well for kids really of a lot of different ages and a lot of different skill sets. So in this conversation about life skills today, I want to share four important components of teaching life skills and how we can do this with our older students, our junior high, high school students, and then how we can be aware and start this process for our younger learners as well. The first component to think about when teaching life skills is to think long-term, and that kind of goes into what I was just talking about. We want to think about those long-term goals we have for our students. Whether you teach early childhood or junior high or high school, think about and start having conversations with parents and caregivers about what life is going to look like in 5 years, in 10 years. And they may not know yet, but we can kind of think a little bit more detailed, which is sometimes easier. Think about chores. Think about accessing the community. Think about traveling. Think about things that we want that student to be able to do on their own or with minimal help. Instead of being like, hey, what job do you want your child to have in 15 years? They're like, I don't know. Instead of being like, hey, what snacks would be helpful for your child to be able to make on their own? And that's an easier question to answer, right? Even though it's more detailed. So start to think about those long-term goals. Now, especially if you teach older students, junior high, high school, and transition, then we're really going to focus, obviously, on that next season of life, on adulthood. Start to really paint that picture and think about all the different things in your life that you do independently. That means navigating between home and work. That means getting ready for the day. That means not only making a snack or a meal, but making sure you have the groceries for the snack or the meal and cleaning up after the snack or the meal, right? So we want to think through all of those different areas of your day and your life that you can do successfully and then translate that to instruction. And having those long-term goals is great because it might take a while to build some of these skills. These are hard skills, right? The skill of doing laundry is a harder skill. The skill of using an oven correctly is a harder skill. So we might need to start it many years before we need that independence, and that's okay. That's why we start thinking about some of these things in junior high. Yeah, the child's only 12, but we want to start working and talking about these things. And when we start working on them in school, this really translates to the household setting because we're able to have conversations with parents and caregivers. I taught junior high for 10 years and I love junior high because to me it's a sweet spot between elementary and high school. We don't have like too many of the crazy puberty behaviors yet. And, you know, our fifth graders or sixth graders as they're entering junior high are kind of still babies in a little way. But we really do get to start focusing on these academic life skills in a new way. And what I loved about it was the conversations that this brought up with parents. Because some parents and caregivers may not yet be giving their kids some of those responsibilities in the household, even maybe that some of their siblings have. Like, I would love to be like, hey, I love to ask, like, hey, what chores does your child have when they come home? And a lot of times parents are like, oh, shoot, yeah, I should be giving them chores. Like, yeah, they should clean up their room and they should make their bed and they could set the table and empty the dishwasher and think about things that your other children do. And let's work on this child doing this as well and being that, you know, contributing member of your family in the way that they're capable of. And those were great conversations to start. And I used to do home visits and those were great things to talk about in home visits. And to really empower parents to teach their children these things to do in the home because we want the instruction to happen in both settings. So when we start to have those long-term goals, then we can start to kind of move in that direction slowly with those benchmark steps along the way.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The next thing to think about when teaching life skills is we want it to be real world based, meaning we want to use real photos, real scenarios, be in the community, have it be as close to the real situation as possible. Now, it's ideal if you can be using real things, like you want to work on the skill of grocery shopping in the grocery store, right? That would be great. Now, we can't go to the grocery store every single day or sometimes even every week or every month. So we do want to contrive some situations to build those skills in the classroom. But when we're doing that, we want to make sure the materials we're using for instruction are as close to the real world setting as possible. Research has really shown that skills generalize more readily when instruction looks as similar to the real thing as possible. That makes sense, right? So especially with my junior high and high school students, this is great news because I don't want you playing grocery store with play food. I don't, right? It looks babyish. It's not age appropriate. I want you practicing grocery store skills with real photos of grocery stores, grocery store tags. I want you to use a YouTube video of someone in the grocery store. If you're going to use food, I want you to use a real box of macaroni and cheese to read the price or the expiration date on it, right? Use real items because that's going to translate more readily to those skills being used in the real world. We made such an effort to do this with our life skills curriculum and our functional math and functional literacy curriculum. All of the images in there are real photos that are real world based. Like we took photos of our own receipts. We found great photos of things in restaurants and menus and cell phones and map directions and work schedules and all things that you can see in the real world because we want that learning that's done on pen and paper in a classroom that's more contrived, we want that learning to translate to the real world. And we can do that by making the learning materials look real world based. And we made such an effort with that. And I love how these three curriculum turned out because it does that. It has all of these real photos. And that was very time intensive on our end, but it was on purpose because we want the learning to generalize. So think about that when selecting your instructional materials. The third thing to consider when teaching life skills is to embed reinforcement. We should obviously do this with all instruction we do, but a little bit of something different to consider when teaching life skills is as much as possible, we want to embed naturally occurring reinforcers. So what will happen in the real world when we engage in these behaviors? A lot of cool things, right? When you engage in life skills behaviors in the real world, you get awesome things typically, right? When you go into a pizza restaurant and you give them money and order your pizza, guess what? They give you pizza. Every time I walk into a Starbucks and give them more money, they give me a Starbucks. Those are naturally occurring reinforcers. Now, for some things that we work on and skills that we work on, it's going to be easy to do that, like anything with delicious food and treats, right? Other things, it's going to be trickier, like doing your laundry or cleaning the house, right? There's not so many naturally occurring reinforcers embedded in there. With those scenarios, we want to still highlight the naturally occurring reinforcers. Look, when we put our things away, we can find them later. Isn't that great? When we clean up our markers, we now have the markers next time we want to use them. Or when I put away my Legos, I can find them later. These are things we can start talking about in early childhood. The important executive function of organization should be started at early childhood at these basic levels of cleaning up so you can find your materials later, right? Important life skill. But the other thing that we can do is we can also add in some contrived reinforcement as well. Things that are actually reinforcers for that individual, we can add that in as well. And guess what? You and I do that all the time. Right? Think about if you have a lot of chores to do. Do you put something at the end of those chores to like look forward to? I know I do. I'm like, okay, once I get all this laundry done, then I'm going to sit down and watch Real Housewives, right? That's my contrived reinforcer that I'm adding to this scenario. We do this all the time, right? You put your kids to bed. You're like, okay, I'm going to clean up the kitchen. I'm going to load the dishwasher. I'm going to real quick run the vacuum. Then I can sit down and watch my shows, right? First then. Do the same thing with your students. Hey, after we do this, then we're going to get something awesome. So make sure to embed reinforcement because we want to give them that why. And the last component for teaching life skills is start early. This has kind of been the recurring theme of this whole conversation. Life skill instruction and focus shouldn't start in junior high. We should start to think about this in early childhood, really with all of our learners, with all of our kids. We want to start thinking about where independence will be. We want to start thinking about what they'll be able to do on their own and empower them to do that, whether that be to utilize a coping strategy, whether that be to read, whether that be to utilize a math strategy. That's what we want to think about. With any academics we teach, we know that there's going to be a functional use later. So be thinking about that and pulling back support. A lot of this is really going to be involved with prompt fading and effectively fading our prompts, because that independence piece is what's going to give our kids those opportunities later in life. If they keep needing us to help add up coins, it's going to be a struggle to go to a store on your own and pay for something with money, right? So that independence thing is what we really want to focus on early. Prompt fading, do it on your own. And that's important to think about with early childhood. And I've been talking about this a lot in trainings lately, is that, you know, prompt fading has to be purposeful. Prompt fading doesn't happen on accident. It's not successful when we just hope for it. We have to plan for prompt fading. Prompt fading, I think, is a lot more challenging in early childhood. I literally have had people tell me, oh, I don't mind helping him. He's so cute. It's fine. I don't mind. I'm like, well, it's cute now because he's four, but it's not going to be cute when he's 14, right? Start that prompt fading now. Start pulling back and getting your kids successfully independent now as much as possible. Obviously, what independence looks like for a four-year-old is very different than for a 14-year-old. But we want to be constantly pushing that independence piece, and that will allow for a lot of those next opportunities later in school to build a lot of these great life skills, because we're going to have that independence piece already there. All right, so thanks for joining my chat on life skills. We talked about how to think about those long-term goals, using real-world-based instructional materials, embedding reinforcement, and starting life skills instruction early. Our new life skills curriculum is coming out, and I am so, so excited about it. If you teach junior high, high school, or transition, you 100% need this in your classroom. I'm so proud of how it turned out. We spent a lot of time and energy researching and building this out, so it's a really, really great tool for you to use to build a lot of different skills. Can't wait for you to see it. If you have any questions on it, let me know. I'm going to put the link in the show notes for it. And think about life skills. Whatever grade you are in, whatever role you are in, whatever grade your age your child is, if you are a parent, start to think about how you can improve independence and how you can teach functional skills that will help them in that next season of life.
Thanks for listening to the Autism Helper podcast. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me if you left some feedback. Whether I'm working one-on-one with a student, doing a podcast like this one, or presenting for a PD, my goal is always to provide as much value as I can. So your feedback really helps me make sure I'm doing just that. If you have other topics you'd like me to cover, leave in the feedback or message me on social media. You can follow me at The Autism Helper on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, or visit my website, theautismhelper.com. Thanks again for listening.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Having the right resources for your classroom is essential to making sure your classroom is running smoothly. At the Autism Helper Shop, we have all of the resources you need to make sure you have the behavior, communication, and curriculum supports for your students. Within our shop, we have adapted books, task cards, resources aligned to the VB map and the ABLES, behavior plan flowcharts, data sheets, curriculum. Everything you need, whether you are an early childhood teacher or a high school teacher, we have all of the resources that will meet those students' needs. So head over to shop.theautismhelper.com to check out all of our resources.